As we've seen this hour, one can't really speak about the nations of Iran and North Korea without being reminded of their nuclear programs and the international efforts being made to diminish or eliminate the growth of nuclear weapons by those regimes. But the nuclear threat to the world is by no means confined to the so-called rogue states. The presence of nuclear weapons is constant and global. It is quite likely that if you are in the U.S. or Russia or South Asia or China, that either a nuclear warhead is aimed at you or your city shows up on some target list somewhere. As recently as 2010, in an Associated Press poll, 62% of Americans said they believe no country should have nuclear weapons, not even the United States. And yet more than 50 years after John F. Kennedy called for the eradication of nuclear weapons, the U.S. has some 8,000 weapons, 1,000 of which could be ready to launch in a few minutes. Joe Cirincione is president of Plowshares Fund and author of the book Nuclear Nightmares, Securing the World Before It Is Too Late. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
So is a country-by-country approach to assessing the nuclear threat useful in your view?
You cannot solve this problem by playing nuclear whack-a-mole, by trying to tamp it down wherever it rears up, in part because the only way to stop countries from getting new weapons is to have a comprehensive approach that includes other countries eliminating the weapons they have. Steady steps towards disarmament build up the international cooperation you need to block new states from getting them. Blocking the new states creates the security that encourages other states to give up the weapons. So you have to keep flipping this coin over and over again.
So while positive, this statement from Secretary of State John Kerry, you would not necessarily consider hopeful. Listen, here he is speaking on Tuesday.
We're at a crossroads. We're at one of those really hinge points in history. One path could lead to an enduring resolution in international community's concerns about Iran's nuclear program. The other path could lead to continued hostility and potentially to conflict.
Now, as significant as Iran is, you would view the hinge point of history as the moment that John Kerry starts talking about U.S. and Russian weapons and the global proliferation of nuclear weapons.
Well, they are two sides of the same coin. I mean, what you hear, especially in Washington, when you talk about cutting the overly redundant nuclear force the United States has, is why should we cut weapons when new states are trying to get them? So Iran, in many ways, is a gateway issue. You have got to resolve the Iran crisis in order to convince politicians that it's safe to cut our own weapons.
Although convincing politicians that we don't need 8,000 nuclear weapons to stand as a defense against a non-existent Iranian weapon seems to me almost the point of lunacy.
There is no logical strategic connection between the 8,000 weapons we have and the possibility that Iran might someday get 1 or 10, but psychologically and politically there is. I personally can't think of any mission that requires one nuclear weapon. There hasn't been for 68 years. Despite all the wars, all the threats, we and no one else has ever used a nuclear weapon. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you need 5 or 50 or 500 just to be sure. We have 8,000.
Mm. Two big points that come out of this book I want to talk about. First, you spend a lot of time talking about the threats in South Asia, that there's not enough concern about what goes on between India and Pakistan.
Yeah. You know, many people look at Iran as the nuclear threat. And in fact, 70% of all the stories written about nuclear policy are written about Iran. But if you look at the most dangerous country on earth, as I say in the book, Nuclear Nightmares, it's really Pakistan. They have 100 nuclear weapons, an unstable government, a collapsing economy, strong Islamic fundamentalist influences in the military and intelligence apparatus, and Al-Qaeda operating inside their national territory, and an ongoing border dispute with another nuclear-armed country, India. That is a recipe for disaster.
What's the countermeasure? What's the approach there? What would you do?
Well, this gets exactly to your point of the comprehensive approach. In order to get it in a position where we can do something about the Pakistan nuclear threat, you've got to create an international climate where countries are giving up nuclear weapons, not building them.
Everybody doing it at once.
Everybody walking down that same path together. That's the only way you're going to convince countries that they shouldn't have the toys the big boys do.
Now, the most chilling issue that comes up in this book, and I was actually surprised by it because while it's obvious, in a certain way, it's actually not thought about very much. And that is the idea that time is passing here. The nuclear age began in the 1940s, and we are fast getting to a point where people for whom that is a living memory are passing from the scene. And very shortly after that, we will be at a point where people for whom the Cold War is no longer a living memory. And we'll be left with a generation that doesn't really understand, maybe, the significance of these weapons, even though they're still around.
It is. It is chilling. It's like one of those science fiction novels where the generation discovers the bomb that previous generations have built, and they've forgotten all about it, but it's still alive. That's the situation we're in now. People think nuclear weapons are something out of the past, or whatever issues there are being resolved by government policies. They couldn't be more wrong. These are nightmares that could explode literally at any time and fundamentally change our way of life, our very existence.
20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now.
At any time, as long as you leave these most destructive weapons we've ever built in fallible human hands, they are going to be used. We have to get them down to the lowest level possible so we can envision the day where we might be able to eliminate them entirely.
Who's working on this generational piece of getting this done while there's still a collective memory of the significance of nuclear weapons, at least what they can actually do?
Well, some of the people that gave the impetus to a world free of nuclear weapons, George Shultz, Henry Kissinger, Sam Nunn, Bill Perry, two Republicans, two Democrats, are very keenly aware of their own mortality, of the need to pass the torch on. So you do see organizations, foundations, My Own Plowshares Fund, Sam Nunn's Nuclear Threat Initiative, other foundations, and dozens of organizations around the world working on this to make sure that people don't forget the dangers that we created.
Joe Cernciani is president of the Plowshares Fund. He's author of the book Nuclear Nightmares, Securing the World Before It Is Too Late. Joe, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.